between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. You must be a glutton for punishment because you keep coming back for more of these gruesome tales. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and this podcast is set to help you laugh in fear through these nightmares disguised as stories. I know the world is suspended in fear as it waits to see our next steps, so I am happy to provide you with this momentary distraction. As you often hear me say, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. Sometimes writing down what we fear in a story we control can help soothe those anxieties. So, I guess my question is, what's your story? This time in our life, there is a lot to be afraid of. Take back some of the control and send those nightmares in to dimlightanxiety@gmail.com. Speaking of terror tales, today's story is brought to you by the talented Reddit author with the username mirror_face_. Feel free to look them up on Reddit and follow them for more of their fantastic work. This is actually their second appearance around this campfire, and I'm excited to have them on twice this season for this spooky two-part nightmare. In a struggling economy, finding a job to support your family is scarce. Sometimes you just have to take what is available. That's all he was doing. Or so he thought. Submitted for the approval to the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Night Guard, Part 1. Titled, Desperation is for the Dead. Card declined. Read the screen on the cashier's terminal as the once perky cashier tapped her long, green, neon fake nails on the plastic screen with a now disgruntled look on her face. My heart sank as the beautiful frozen pizza, pints of ice cream, and copious amounts of wine I bought for my wife, Gwen, and myself to drown our sorrow from our recently losing our unborn child were carried off. Since that tragic night 3 weeks ago, we have spoken to each other so little. I know logically that it was a freak accident and there was nothing we could do, but at my darkest, I think I blame my wife. I feel ashamed to admit something so horrible, but I think she feels the same way. I think she blames me for the stress I put her through while pregnant. To be honest, I blame myself too. The food and wine was an attempt of mine to have a night like when we first met, to try to connect instead of blame. The numbness I had been feeling for weeks returned as I was walking out of the grocery store, feeling ashamed at my lowest. I said to myself out loud, I need a job. Later that night, after the usual silent dinner followed by Gwen locking herself back up in our bedroom to quietly grieve alone, I was furiously searching online. Help wanted ads on my laptop with a mission to have a response by the following morning. The mission was proving harder than I initially anticipated, however. As ad after ad, my enthusiasm dwindled. Needs forklift experience. Must type at 120 words per minute. Must accept under minimum wage. All things I can't afford or just don't have. I decided to go outside and smoke the half of a cigarette I had stashed for emergencies when I was out. The cold bench felt nice as I sat down to light up the stub of addiction I so needed. Instantly, relief washes through my body and I close my eyes to enjoy the rush. As I am enjoying the feeling with my head slumped down, I hear a screaming in my ear. Wake up! Something doesn't feel right! I instantly jolt up and drop my nub of a burning cigarette onto my lap. As I am wincing in pain and hurriedly brushing my Levi's off, I look around and realize the voice in my it's in my head. Damn it. I already need another pot of coffee, I say to myself as I throw the water from my water cup in my face. After scooping the grounds and filling the reservoir on the little black coffee pot, I dropped myself down onto the black fabric cushions of my couch in front of my laptop, wearing a sense of renewed determination. Thank God we need the money. I need an escape. Something to take my mind off of this life while earning some money. Anything will do, just give me something, I thought to myself as I lifted up the computer screen. I didn't search long before finding this ad that had been recently posted 10 minutes ago.
Parking lot security needed. Hiring immediately. We are a private hospital on Garoche Street looking to hire nighttime security guard for the parking structure located on the east side of our building. Candidates must have a good work ethic, ability to adapt, and an open mind. No security experience required. Our last night security guard recently retired suddenly, so we are in desperate need of new candidates. This job includes competitive wages, as well as medical insurance and 401k options. Please email us with your response and attached resume, and we will get back to you promptly.
The white light from the laptop illuminated my face from a darkened living room as I sat amazed at the incredible luck I just had with finding a job that perfectly fits my needs. Security detail seems like a perfect distraction. I can't even look in my own wife's eyes anymore, I solemnly reminded myself. As if the ad was going to puff into smoke before my eyes, if I hesitated too long, I frantically started typing out my reply email and attaching my resume. Almost instantly after sending my messages, a little red reply notification popped up in the top right corner of my screen as a new email came in. It was from the hospital.
We are happy to say that we are extending an invitation to you to join our hardworking team. Please report to 17001 Garoche Road at 10 p.m. for training, gun safety, and to fill out your employment paperwork. Please bring a pair of khakis and comfortable, agile running shoes. We will provide you with the rest upon your arrival. Sincerely, Sage, Garoche Hospital Security Manager.
After reading the message, I went back to my recently acquired ritual of watching YouTube videos of unexplained mysteries until the sun came up. The following day, I relate the good news over breakfast of eggs and plain white toast to my wife, who is pale with puffy eyes and tear-stained, tattered, old college t-shirt this morning. Gwen responded with a blank stare, a shrug, and her attention quickly shifting back to her phone screen. Well, I'm happy for me, I retorted in my mind. trying to shake off the bitter feelings that were rising up again. A renewed energy was welling up inside me from the incentive of an income source to buy that junk food dinner for us, to try to rekindle that magic I saw in her 4 years ago when we first went steady. It feels stupid to say at times, something as small as pizza and wine to undo an unimaginable hurt, but it's all I feel like I have anymore. Sometimes grasping at straws is still grasping at something. I use this renewed energy to drive myself to my local Kohl's to get slacks and shoes with that little cash I had saved up in my sock drawer stash. Knowing that my wife had some frozen leftovers to reheat for dinner, I decided to grab a burger with the spare money from shopping and spend my quiet dinner alone in my little pickup. After staring into space for some time through my windshield, I realized there wasn't really any need for me to go home before work, so I decided to make a good impression and be as early as possible. Oh, I don't know where this... Is it Garote Road is? I just realized. I stated to myself before getting on my phone and to get directions from the GPS. Oh shit, that is in the middle of nowhere. My error of not researching the place I will be working at instantly hit me with a slow sinking feeling in my stomach. Whatever. The extra gas and time for the drive out there is going to suck, but this has to be worth it. I shake off the feeling as fast as I can and start making my way up the winding mountain road that leads me to Garote Road. Civilization begins to become more and more sparse until nothing but tall pine and cedar trees surround me with the occasional cabin every 5 miles or so. As I make my way closer to my destination, the surroundings seem to take on an ominous, otherworldly quality. Nothing looked any different. It was just a feeling I was starting to have. The hospital itself looked like an oasis of light in a desert of green. On arrival, I note how normal of a hospital it looked, though maybe larger than I expected for such an isolated area. White, four stories, large windows that wrapped around the building's exteriors. Around the back, the large, gray, concrete parking structure contrasted the wall of leaves and trunks from the surrounding forest. I parked my pickup next to what looked like a portable office unit to the side of the main entrance to the structure and made my way in. The door shut behind me with a surprisingly loud thud as I made my way to the distracted-looking, wispy older woman behind a thin, painted metal desk facing door. I cleared my throat when I reached her desk and she slowly lifted her head from the mass of paperwork she seemed to be filing out.
"You must be Bareface, the new night security guard," she squeaked in a slow yet high-pitched voice. "I've been expecting you. You look sturdy. Good. Let me introduce myself. My name is Sage."
She extended a small, spindly-fingered hand for me to shake, while not breaking eye contact once. Her hand was bony yet soft and had an interestingly soft grip. The sturdy comment made me feel uneasy, but there must be some heavy lifting involved, I rationalized. After introductions, she got right to business. She hastily pulled open the top cabinet drawer from her desk and pulled out a manila envelope with my name already written on the tab and in a beautiful, flowing cursive handwriting. I threw the manila envelope over to the side of the desk and what I was sitting on. She opened the bigger bottom cabinet drawer to reveal a blue button-up shirt and a black trucker hat with security written in big white letters on the front and a big black leather utility belt.
Is that a holster? I try to just think, but accidentally blurt out loud. I notice a large black plastic holster for a gun attached to the side of the belt that Sage had just unceremoniously plopped on top of the shirt and hat tossed to me as well.
I may have failed to mention in the advertisement that this is not your ordinary security job. It's a bit more dangerous. But don't worry, the pay is great, and we've got great medical.
Sage laughed, referring to the attached hospital, as she rummaged through the safe behind her desk on the wall.
Here it is,
she exclaimed, with a hint of a little glee in her voice. A Colt 45 was handed to me, handle first, as I hesitantly grabbed hold of the large firearm.
You just trust new employees with a gun, let alone a gun this big? What about proper training? This looks like it could blow off body parts,
I retorted nervously, feeling the weight and coldness of the steel.
Well, after tonight, you'll be better at understanding of why. If you're too busy protecting yourself and others, you wouldn't have time to use it on the wrong, let's say, people, Sage said,
with a weary look on her face.
As for the training, let's call it on-the-job training.
Was she serious? More dangerous? What did I get myself into? Questions were now streaming inside my head. Luckily, I had done survival training and shot plenty of firearms as a kid. Sensing the growing concern going on silently in my head, Sage assured me.
Don't worry, though. You got me training you. You'll be used to it in no time.
She walked around the desk and gave me a hard slap on the back with a chuckle. It reminded me of the way my bear of a man little league coach would reassure me with a slap on the back that would almost knock me over half of the time, and a friendly chuckle whenever I struck out. Seeing the nervous looks I was giving her with a fake smile and laugh prompted her to say,
"Look, you probably won't use it that much."
I'm guessing this comment was made to assure me, but the fact that I was going to have to use a gun at all made me extremely apprehensive. Determined to earn a paycheck, however, I pressed on and assured Sage that it was okay, and I should be prepared to do what I need to do. At that, she walked back around her desk to sit down to continue telling me about the job.
As the security guard, you are expected to make patrols around the property every 2 hours. Also, every 2 hours, you need to go around the parked cars to check on them, she continued to explain. By checking on them, I mean check to make sure they have a valid parking permit and that there is nothing going on in them.
What if there's something going on in them? I inserted before she could move on. Sage just slowly looked at the gun that was now lying on the desk in front of me and said,
"Take care of it."
The weight of the statement hit me and left me with a queasy feeling in my stomach. Take care of it, I thought. What the fuck does that mean? Am I going to have to shoot someone? Sweat started collecting on my forehead as my mind tried grasping the situation.
Just check in with me over the walkie-talkie since there isn't any cell reception out there. From there, I can, call the proper authorities. That's all you need to know about that.
Sage trudged on as she pulled the walkie-talkie from the skinny drawer directly in front of her.
From there, you just have to pick up the rest while on the job. Now, go change, I will show you the grounds. I thanked Sage for everything and grabbed the items given to me for the job to take to the room that she pointed out as the changing room. Stopping midway through changing into my new work uniform, I sat down to put my head in my hands to process everything that was just said. I'm telling myself I just need to leave the situation when I nod off for a second due to the recent bouts of insomnia. A blood-curdling scream fills my head and I jolt up, almost falling backwards out of the long wooden changing room bench. Like a slap to reality, I remember why I need a job and distraction. The cold water wakes me up more as I wash my face before heading back out to let Sage show me around, now that I was in uniform and ready. She pulls a gun from somewhere hidden underneath her office chair and walks me outside to the parking structure.
"Let me show you around the property first," Sage explained, with a now hardened and serious look on her face. "Then I can show you what to check for with the cars."
She took off with a fast pace after she was done talking, with little to no indication that she wanted me to follow her or was just going to start walking in the first place. I just took this as my cue to speed walk behind her as she went into what each building is and purpose, with no warning that she was going to start giving me the tour now or really even concerned that I was listening or following. When we got around the property to where the thick forest begins and Sage freezes in her tracks, I freeze as well as I hear a loud wail from the distance. The trees' tops rustling, my heart starts, Irish river dancing inside my chest from the adrenaline, and I look to Sage for what to do. I notice that she now has her hand on her gun and is facing toward the direction of the sound.
"Curtis, you son of a fuck! I don't have time for your shit tonight! I am training a goddamn new hire!"
Sage belts like a possessed banshee towards the direction of the sound as a black form with glowing white eyes peeks out from the trees just in front of us. It takes me a second to process what I am seeing as the figure looks at us and makes a chittering sound underneath the wailing like some kind of insectoid cat, and then takes off in the direction it came from. Now stunned and unable to grasp what just took place in front of me, I hear Sage grumbling to herself.
"Bastard comes when I'm training a new meat every goddamn time."
"What the fuck was that?" I ask Sage as I'm slowly backing away from the forest without realizing it.
"Oh, that was just Curtis. He thinks he's an exiled soul from the Hollowed Maze," Sage responded in a matter-of-fact tone.
"Exiled soul from the Hollowed Maze? What does that even mean?" I asked as my mind struggled to keep up with the conversation.
"Oh, you didn't know? This hospital was the one to find out what actually happened after a patient dies. Through extensive research, we found out that our souls go to a dark ethereal plane called the Hollowed Maze. Once there, our souls have to make their way through the maze of terror and despair as they are judged by all-seeing ones," Sage said as her face slowly made a grimace.
"Hollowed Maze? All-seeing ones? How did they find all this out?" I sputtered out, now dumbfounded by Sage's words.
"Oh, you'll have answers soon enough, assuming you stick around," I think I may have said too much already.
Sage casually replied with a smirk, completely oblivious to my now incredulous face. She then continued marching back in the direction of the parking structure and pointing out more white buildings, like as if nothing had just transpired. Back at the base level of the parking structure, I could see a smattering of white and black cars parked in the parking lot. Now that I notice it, I start to see that not one car has any color on it. Besides the typical brake light covers being red, all of the cars parked were either black or white. I found this to be odd, but moved on thinking maybe it was just the style around here. Whatever here was. Sage instructed me that we will now be inspecting cars. She throws me a heavy mag light and wields one of her own, neither of which do I have any idea where she was hiding since she didn't walk out with flashlights. The grounds of the hospital had been well lit enough not to need one. Sage then walks up to the first car nearest us, an older-looking Subaru Forester, and points out the little blue tag on the dashboard.
Just look for these tags in the car. We only sell day passes, and the color changes every day, so you just have to look for the color. Tonight's color is blue, as you can see. Sage informed as she pointed her unreasonably large for her small hands flashlight to the dashboard of the Subaru. We continued on checking each car for a tag and to make sure no people were inside the car sleeping. After rounding the corner on the second level to move up to the third level, I spot a tall, slender person that appeared to be hunched over crying in a dark spot where a light had gone out near the stairs to go down. Forgetting my job and that I was with someone, I began to make my way over to the figure while asking if they were okay and asking if I needed to call someone for them. When I was about 4 feet from the figure, which I could now make out to be grotesquely skinny and to have a triangular-shaped head, Sage screamed at me to stop. At the same time, the figure looked up to me to meet my gaze with just blackness. Where its face should be, there was just a bloody, black, gaping maw. Teeth started to push out of the hole in its face that seemed to be hand-dug. I screamed as loud as I could, and the creature made this otherworldly, gurgling, guttural growl, then took off down the stairs to ground level. I collapsed to my knees as they buckled from their consistency being of that warm jello. Sage at the point has run up to me and is slapping me on my upper arm, yelling, "What the hell is wrong with you? Why would you just go up to a stranger like that without at least your handgun on your firearm?" I thought it was a patient or something having a bad day after a rough prognosis or something. I was just trying to be nice, I retorted confusedly.
Not around here, you don't. Not on the night shift, Sage declared to me with a serious, almost pitying look. The next morning on the drive home, I recounted everything from my shift I was just relieved from. How could I go back to this job? How could I not with how interesting it is and how badly I needed a distraction? Am I crazy for considering going back? These questions buzzed around my brain like angry bees until after the shower I had taken when I got off my shift. I noticed my phone had a notification that I didn't notice before I'd gone to the shower. My phone opened with a quick finger swipe, and I noticed it was a notification from my bank. Worried that someone might have stolen my card number, I immediately logged into my online banking account and noticed it had a few more zeros than it had the day before. $2,000 had been deposited into my account for my new job. I had just finished the hiring paperwork. I don't remember even setting up a direct deposit, which I found to be odd. Seeing more money than I had ever made from any job before decided it for me. I guess I'm getting used to these new working conditions. I'll post more as I get more hours, but I'm sure it's going to be an interesting night job. Wow, $2,000 a day to check parking tickets? But you see more trauma-worthy sites than one person should? That money is good, but I'm not sure I would be strong enough to handle such a job. I am definitely glad that this character is, though. I can't wait for next week to hear more about the horrific encounters he faces as a night guard. Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Is it scary enough, or better question? Can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? If you want more information on the Guild, and even to find a more direct link to email me your scary stories, visit dimlightanxiety.com. Everything you could want to participate in the Guild is on that site, as well as some fun random things. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give me a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google, or any platform you use to hear today's terror tale. It really, really, really helps the fabulous writers get the attention they deserve. Hell, you can even leave a comment about one in particular that you enjoyed. Hearing feedback is how we all improve. Speaking of the writer, I want to give one final shout out to this week's and next week's author found on Reddit with the username mirror_face_. And finally, here is the taste of the continuation of this story that will come out next week. Enjoy, if you dare. What the arms are holding becomes more apparent as I shriek out in surprised horror to see the skin of 3 human faces stretched from ear to ear with clamps, slowly dripping blood from recently being removed. Sage tries to calm me down by reassuring,
"It's okay. They're from cadavers. It's all part of the job."
Like I promised, I have a week's worth of stories. I was a bit delayed because I had to process my last day at work and seek therapy. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Until next week, may your job be worth the pay. If not, there's always the night guard. Creep it real! This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.